Anyway, we were sitting on the terrace of the Café Select, and Harvey Stone had just crossed the street. "Come on up to the Lila," I said.
"I have a date."
"What time?"
"Francis is coming here at 7:15.
There she is. Francis Klein was coming toward us from across the street. She was a very tall girl who walked with a great deal of movement. She waved and smiled. We watched her cross the street.
"Hello," she said. "I'm so glad you're here, Jake. I've been wanting to talk to you."
"Hello, Francis," said Cohn. He smiled.
"Why, hello, Robert. Are you here?"
She went on, talking rapidly. "I've had the darndest time. This one," shaking her head at Cohn, "didn't come home for lunch."
I wasn't supposed to."
"Oh, I know, but you didn't say anything about it to the cook. Then I had a date myself, and Paula wasn't at her office. I went to the Ritz and waited for her, and she never came. And, of course, I didn't have enough money to lunch at the Ritz."
"What did you do?"
"Oh, went out, of course." She spoke in a sort of imitation joyful manner. "I always keep my appointments. No one keeps theirs nowadays. I ought to know better. How are you, Jake, anyway?"
"Fine."
"That was a fine girl you had at the dance and then went off with that Brett one."
"Don't you like her?" Cohn asked.
"I think she's perfectly charming, don't you?"
Cohn said nothing.
"Look, Jake, I want to talk with you. Would you come over with me to the Dome? You'll stay here, won't you, Robert? Come on, Jake." We crossed the Boulevard Montparnasse and sat down at a table. A boy came up with the Paris Times, and I bought one and opened it.
"What's the matter, Francis?"
"Oh, nothing," she said, "except that he wants to leave me."
"How do you mean?"
"Oh, he told everyone that we were going to be married. And I told my mother and everyone, and now he doesn't want to do it."
"What's the matter?"
"He's decided he hasn't lived enough. I knew it would happen when he went to New York." She looked up very bright-eyed and trying to talk inconsequentially. "I wouldn't marry him if he doesn't want to. Of course I wouldn't. I wouldn't marry him now for anything, but it does seem to me to be a little late now, after we've waited 3 years and I've just gotten my divorce."
I said nothing.
"We were going to celebrate so, and instead we've just had scenes. It's so childish. We have dreadful scenes, and he cries and begs me to be reasonable, but he says he just can't do it."
"It's rotten luck."
"I should say it is rotten luck. I've wasted 2 years and a half on him now, and I don't know now if any man will ever want to marry me. 2 years ago, I could have married anybody I wanted down at Cannes. All the old ones that wanted to marry somebody chic and settle down were crazy about me. Now I don't think I could get anybody."
"Sure, you could marry anybody."
"No, I don't believe it. And I'm fond of him, too. And I'd like to have children. I always thought we'd have children." She looked at me very brightly. "I never liked children much, but I don't want to think I'll never have them. I always thought I'd have them and then like them."
"He's got children."
"Oh, yes, he's got children, and he's got money, and he's got a rich mother, and he's written a book. And nobody will publish my stuff, nobody at all. It isn't bad either, and I haven't got any money at all. I could have had alimony, but I got the divorce the quickest way." She looked at me again very brightly. "It isn't right. It's my own fault, and it's not, too. I ought to have known better, and when I tell him, he just cries and says he can't marry. Why can't he marry? I'd be a good wife. I'm easy to get along with. I leave him alone. It doesn't do any good."
"It's a rotten shame."
"Yes, it is a rotten shame. But there's no use talking about it, is there?
Come on, let's go back to the cafe."
"And of course there isn't anything I can do."
"No, just don't let him know I talked to you. I know what he wants."